This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Deacon Mark Smith and is entitled, My Duty While in My Valley.
Well, as we draw closer to Good Friday and the Resurrection Sunday, I thought I'd get started preparing our hearts and our minds for the cross. My sermon this morning is entitled, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. So, a face in the crowd stands at the front of the crowd, awaiting convicted and soon to be crucified Jesus to pass by. This man's a nobody, a commoner, a worker in the fields, but the God of history is about to immortalize him. Let's go to our text, Mark chapter 15, verses 15 to 22. Mark chapter 15, verses 15 to 22. Let's stand together as we read the story. Mark 15, beginning at verse 15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called the Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it about his head, and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe from him, and put his own clothes on him, and let him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him onto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted, the place of a skull. Thank you. You may be seated. From the lofty courts of a Roman governor to the lowly streets of Jerusalem, he treads his way through the streets. Can you see him? What's that he got across his back? It's one of those crosses they use to torture slaves and criminals into a horrible death. It can take as much as 9 days for somebody to die by crucifixion on those crosses. The cross is heavy. He can't bear it. He falls. Someone is yanked out of the crowd. He's lifting the cross on his strong back. Jesus no longer carries the burden of the cross alone. This act of mercy, whatever the motivation, is immortalized in history on the pages of Scripture. Just think of how many names are written into the Bible. Think, for example, the name of God the Father occurs 10,000 times in Scripture. Jesus is named more than 1,400 times in Scripture. King David, 1,018 times. Moses, 804 times. Peter the Apostle, 183 times. Paul, 180 times. Simon the Cyrenian, 3 times. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Quantity does not diminish the quality of his actions, nor lessons to be gleaned. Simon's story brings us face to face with the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross, when understood literally, is the central theme of our faith. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The cross is central. We don't wear it around our necks as a demonstration that we are Christians. We wear the cross in our heart. We wear it in our lives, that people might see the crucified, resurrected Jesus Christ in how we live. When applied figuratively, the cross is defined as a heavy object, a burden. The dictionary says it's an affliction that tries one's steadfastness and patience. It's an object, a burden. Jesus tells a young man in Mark 10:21, take up the cross and follow me. He says the same thing to you this morning. Is there a burden so heavy you can't bear it? You're going to have to. Pick it up. Follow me. The cross of Christ was a heavy, burdensome load. Some cynical scholars will say, well, the only reason they gave that cross to Simon was so that they wanted to be sure that the cross would eventually get to Calvary. They didn't think that Jesus was going to be able to carry that cross all the way. But for Christians, the meaning is more beautiful and more profound than that. It wasn't just a matter of function. Jesus wants to teach us something in the carrying of the cross. The Bible says for the believer, life's crosses, your burdens are never borne alone. Your burdens are never borne alone. How do people without Christ in their life and in their heart ever get to the place where they can find peace in the time of a storm? How could you have ever gone through the things that have occurred in your life if you didn't have Jesus? Don't you ask yourself that question from time to time? Don't you just ask it rhetorically? How could people ever get through something like that without the Lord? And the answer is, not very well. God knows your time limit, and God knows your load limit. He knows how long you can take what you're taking, and He knows how much of a heavy cross you can bear. And He'll never let you bear it alone. In His flesh, Jesus needed some breathing time. When the trials of life come cascading in on us, it can feel like the walls themselves are just crashing in. We look around. We don't even see daylight. It feels like there's no way out. You think of all these parents who are suffering with the loss of their kids who were murdered down there in that school in Florida. Right now, we're going along hardly even thinking about it, but they'll never forget it. How do they handle that? How does a father handle never seeing his son or daughter, or a mom handle never seeing her son or daughter again in this life? There's only one hope beyond these circumstances, and that is for the believing mothers and fathers to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when that child was murdered there in their own school, to be absent from that body was to be present with the Lord. And you need to remember how comforting that truth is. When these things happen and we see them on television, parents clutch their children that much closer to their heart. Sometimes when you go through those kinds of traumas, the most you're going to be able to do is find a ray of hope and a pinpoint of light. Sometimes that's all you'll get. Just a chance to catch your emotional breath. I mean, if the pressure keeps going and going and going and going, you're going to break. And God knows the place where you're going to break, and so He brings some sunlight in. Just a pinpoint of light. When I've gone through periods in my life of great pain, I would pray, God, give me just one minute without any pain. Just 1 minute. That's all I want. Just 1 minute. But when I got that 1 minute, it felt like an hour. Just a chance to catch my breath. But Simon's carrying Jesus' cross doesn't change what's going to happen. You know, we can pray and pray and pray, and we might be different, but the circumstance will not change. When circumstances cannot change, you're the one that changes. God gives you whatever it is you need to get through a circumstance that's not going to be any better. It's not going to be any different. It's going to be what it's going to be. But God wants to be your partner in it. And He will help you to get through it. He'll help you to get from this point to the next point. It may be day by day. It may be hour by hour. It may be something that's going to last for months. It may be something that's going to last for weeks and years. It may be something you're going to be dealing with the rest of your life. But you've got somebody to carry the heavy load of that pain. Jesus had a burden sharer in Simon, and so do you. Psalm 55:22 says this, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer, never allow the righteous to be moved." Hang on! Don't quit, don't give up. 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you." No one understands like Jesus. People have gone through some of the same things, and they have empathy, but they really don't know how you're feeling when your head's on the pillow at night and the door's closed. and you're feeling it all by yourself, there's only one who does, and that's Christ. He knows how you're feeling. He knows what's going on in your head. He knows what's down so deep that you can't even articulate it to anybody. But in your silence and in your tears, you are praying to him. He hears. He hears your crying. And there's more. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." The law of Christ is love. Love one another as I have loved you. Do you feel the love? It's so important that you feel the love. Love is an emotion, but in God's case, it's also a fact. His love has been stamped upon a garbage heap in the middle, outside the walls of Jerusalem, on the cross. It is a stake in the ground to let you know, just don't know that he loves you up here, but you can feel it down here when you remember how much he gave for you. Suffering is part of life, and faithful living is not easy to bear, but we don't carry the load ourselves. Remember this. It's not the load that breaks you down. It's the way you carry it. It's not the load that breaks you down. It's the way you carry it. Let me give you something from the world. Gurkhas. Look up there. Bearers. Gurkhas are bearers who carry loads of supplies for those who climb Mount Everest. They're small people, but they can carry loads equal or greater than their own weight. It's not the package that they're carrying, it's how they carry it. The Gurkhas know the secret of how to carry a heavy load, and Bible believers can tap into God's promise on how to carry a heavy emotional load. And it's found in Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." Is that you this morning? Are you labored? Are you heavy laden? "And I will give you rest." Wouldn't that be nice? When your brain is twisting and turning in the wind, when your emotions are all tied up, when you're so hung up on the negatives, so hung up on your fear and your anger and your sorrow, you could use some rest. Little breathing time. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, literally, what those verses refer to are the teachings of Jesus Christ, which is represented as being light in comparison to the burdensome teaching of the Pharisees, who said, "You've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you've got to do the other thing in order to find favor with God. And if you make any mistakes, if you break the law in any single way, well, you're going to find yourself in hell. You're going to find yourself on the wrong end of God's love." And Jesus said, no, it's not that. My burden is light. My promises can be fulfilled. The law can never be fulfilled, but my law of love can be. "Greater love is no man than this, and a man laid down his life for his friend. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Put your faith in Christ. His burden is light. But for us, we know there's another element to this. And that other element is this, that the scripture tells us to cast our cares on Christ, whatever the circumstance, whatever the cause. The burdens of your life have come to you first through his nail-scarred hands. Nothing is happening in your life right now that Jesus has not felt before you ever got the first tear into your eye. He knows what you're feeling. He has experienced those very same things. He cried over Jerusalem. He cried over Israel with real tears. Jesus wept. He cried for Lazarus. He wept. Weeping is different than just crying. It's that deep thing where you can't catch your breath. Burdens come by God's appointment. It's this time in your life when you're able to handle these things. He knows that there are going to be difficult times ahead. He wants to prepare you. In messages like this, in speaking from the Holy Spirit to you, to encourage you, if you've gone through some tough stuff, he wants to let you know that there are promises that you can keep, that promises that he will keep. When burdens come, you are in God's care. Somebody to watch over you, you've got it. To help you get through, when burdens come, God's in control and he's holding on to you. You may want to give up. You may want to let go, but he's not going to let you go. Number two, some burdens are self-imposed. The three-letter word L-E-T, the definition of let is to give opportunity to permit to enter. Listen to the words of Jesus in John 14:27. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What have you given opportunity in your life to steal your joy? To disturb your peace? To crush your spirit? To dissolve your love? What has caused your fear to turn to panic? Listen, what you allowed in your life, you can disallow. What you've let in, you can let out. Let in the promises. Let in his strength. Let in his encouragement. And let out fear. And let out disappointment. And let out discouragement. Hang on. Don't quit. Don't give up. Hang in. Proverbs 23:7 says this, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. If you keep saying things, if you keep saying to yourself things are going to be bad, you stand a good chance of being a prophet. If you continue to tell yourself that things are horrible and things are bad and you're never going to get through this, you probably won't. But if you continue to tell yourself that God is with me and he will get me through it, you will get through this. It's a promise. What were you worried about 6 months ago? What were you sure you were not going to be able to get past? Hello, you're here. It's now. You made it. Or you're through it. Or you're still dealing with it. But you're getting through it. You're a work in progress. It'll continue. He's begun a good work in you. He's not going to end it until you go home to be with him. Be confident, it says. Number three, some burdens come to us as a surprise. Simon was pressed into action. He wasn't prepared for this. Think about the cross that he's going to pick up right now. It's already loaded with blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, they beat him. They've spit on him. They've tortured him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. All of that's staining the cross. And now this man is going to pick it up. They've whipped Jesus over and over and over again. They never stopped spinning, by the way, every chance they had. Simon was close enough to Jesus to hear his labored breath and look into his eyes. Can you imagine that? But what does looking into the eyes of Jesus do to a common man? What was it like for Simon after? Was he encouraged? Did he see something in those eyes that went beyond the suffering? It's in the eyes that you can tell what people are doing. The eyes are the windows of the soul. The real you is in here looking out. And when you look out, what do people see? Do people see defeat? Discouragement? Or do they see hope? When God sends you a cross, take it up and follow him. Remember, dark times are but the shadows of God's wings. They're not dark clouds. Psalm 91 that says, under his wings, you will find strength and comfort. Sometimes it looks like there's nothing but despair. Sometimes it does look hopeless. But that darkness may be God's nearness hovering over you. Look up. Whence cometh your help? My help cometh from the Lord, the Bible says. There was only one burden that of necessity had to be borne alone. Jesus bore the burden of sin upon himself on that cross, alone. Even his father had to abandon him. People say that's a very cruel thing. Christopher Hitchens says, see how cruel God is? He couldn't even look upon his son. Hitchens, you got it wrong. It wasn't his son he couldn't look upon. It was your sin and my sin he couldn't look upon. Sin is an ugly thing. I know we dress it up to be real pretty, but it's not. God sees it for what it is. A destroyer. And when you look down upon that cross, God the Father saw Jesus the Son covered in it. And he couldn't look upon that sin. He's holy. We don't understand that because we're not, but he tells us to keep on giving in to him and become holy like he is. Jesus bore not his sin, not his shame, but mine and yours. Only an act of pure love, unsullied by any taint of ulterior motive, has ever been performed in the history of the world, namely the self-giving of God in Christ on the cross for undeserving sinners. We did not deserve the mercy and grace that Jesus exemplified on that cross. There he is. That's where I should be. And you too. But he paid the price for you and for me. Praise him. Matthew Henry, the great commentator, Bible teacher, says, come and see the victories of the cross. Christ's wounds are thy healings. His agony, thy repose. His conflicts, thy conquest. His groans, thy song. His pain, thy ease. His shame, thy glory. His death, that life. His suffering, your salvation. When I survey the wondrous cross upon which my Savior died. You're looking into his eyes when you think about that. What does it do to you? What does it do to you? You are Simon for that moment as you sing of the cross, as you hear of the cross, as you think of the cross. And if you look into the eyes of Jesus Christ, what do you see? You don't see defeat. You see love. Love. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, even in his closing moments. What transpired on the cross? What happened? Just a few things. Romans 5:11. We received atonement. We became one with God, no longer separated by sin. John 10:11. Jesus became our substitute. He died in our place. The spotless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, died for the sins of a sin-tainted world. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, we were redeemed. Jesus paid the price. It cost to wash away my sin, my shame, my guilt, my past. He shed his blood. Romans 5:10, Jesus reconciled us to God. No longer outsiders, no longer sinners or God's adversary. We are his friends and we are his children. You have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a son and a daughter of Jesus Christ. Not because you're good, because he's good. Calvary is the place where heaven and earth meet. Calvary is the place where sin and Satan were defeated. Calvary is the place where man did his very worst and God did his very best. Calvary is the place where eternal life is marked for those who receive Christ because of what he did there. Calvary is the place where eternal separation from God in the fiery real place called hell is marked for those who reject his sacrifice on that cross. Yes, that's true. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Will you let Christ do to you what Simon the Cyrene did for him and much more? Will you let Jesus lift your burden of care and your burden of sin? That choice is up to you. You had a choice to ask Christ to forgive you of your sin and come into your heart. Now you have a choice. Now that you've received Christ, you have a choice to ask Christ to help lift the burden, the heavy burden of care, of sorrow, of pain, of sickness, of fear, of loneliness, of anger, of jealousy. You name whatever that burden is. You name it before Jesus. You ask him to help you. You ask him to lift you up. You ask him, if you can't stand anymore, carry me. And he will. He'll carry you like he carried, like Simon carried the cross. And God will give you time to breathe. Just don't do one thing. Just don't give up. In these times, it's so easy to do that. Three crosses on a lonely hill, a thief on either side, and in between, the Son of God. How wide the gulf, how wide. Yet one thief spanned it with the words, Lord, remember me. The other scoffed and turned aside to lost eternity. Forsaken is the hilltop now, and all the crosses gone. But in believing hearts, the center cross lives on. And still, as when these sentinels first met earth's wandering view, the presence of the Lord divides. Upon which side are you? Are you the rejecter of the precious Lord on that cross, like that one thief? Or are you the receiver of his salvation, his comfort, his strength in your time of weakness? Your help when you feel helpless. Your hope when you feel hopeless. Your comfort when you are comfortless. He wants to lift the burden that you have in your heart today. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Let's pray.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.